It's a delicate matter, and I see a way out of it. We will say George suggested the idea. There is a lack of genial helpfulness about George that it sometimes vexes me to notice. You would have thought he would have welcomed the chance of assisting two old friends out of a dilemma. Instead, he became disagreeable. "You do," said George, "and I shall tell them both that my original plan was that we should make a party, children and all, that I should bring my aunt, and that we should hire a charming old chateau I know of in Normandy, on the coast, where the climate is peculiarly adapted to delicate children, and the milk such as you do not get in England. I shall add that you overrode that suggestion, arguing we should be happier by ourselves. With a man like George, kindness is of no use. You have to be firm." "You do," said Harris, "and I, for one, will close with the offer. We will just take that chateau. You will bring your aunt, I will see to that, and we will have a month of it. The children are all fond of you. Jay and I will be nowhere. You've promised to teach Edgar fishing, and it is you who will have to play wild beasts. Since last Sunday, Dick and Muriel have talked of nothing else but your hippopotamus. We will picnic in the woods. There will only be 11 of us, and in the evenings we will have music and recitations. Muriel is master of 6 pieces already, as perhaps you know, and all the other children are quick studies." George climbed down. He has no real courage, but he did not do it gracefully. He said that if we were mean and cowardly and false-hearted enough to stoop to such a shabby trick, he supposed he couldn't help it, and that if I didn't intend to finish the whole bottle of claret myself, he would trouble me to spare him a glass. He also added, somewhat illogically, that it really did not matter, seeing both Ethelberta and Mrs. Harris were women of sense, who would judge him better than to believe for a moment that the suggestion emanated from him. This little point settled, the question was, what sort of a change? Harris, as usual, was for the sea. He said he knew a yacht, just the very thing, one that we could manage by ourselves. No skulking lot of lubbers loafing about, adding to the expense and taking away from the romance. Give him a handy boy, he would sail it himself. We knew that yacht, and we told him so. We had been on it with Harris before. It smells of bilge water and greens, to the exclusion of all other scents. No ordinary sea air can hope to head against it. So far as sense of smell is concerned, one might be spending a week in Limehouse Hole. There is no place to get out of the rain, the saloon is 10 feet by 4, and half of that is taken up by a stove, which falls to pieces when you go to light it. You have to take your bath on deck, and the towel blows overboard just as you step out of the tub. Harris and the boy do all the interesting work, the lugging and the reefing, the letting her go and the heeling her over, and all that sort of thing, leaving George and myself to do the peeling of the potatoes and the washing up. "Very well, then," said Harris, "let's take a proper yacht, with a skipper, and do the thing in style." That, also, I objected to. I know that skipper. His notion of yachting is to lie in what he calls the offing, where he can be well in touch with his wife and family, to say nothing of his favourite public house. Years ago, when I was young and inexperienced, I hired a yacht myself. 3 things had combined to lead me into this foolishness. I had had a stroke of unexpected luck. Ethelbertha had expressed a yearning for sea air, and the very next morning, in taking up casually at the club a copy of The Sportsman, I had come across the following advertisement. "To yachtsman, unique opportunity. Rogue, 28-ton yawl. Owner called away suddenly on business. Is willing to let this superbly fitted greyhound of the sea for any period short or long. 2 cabins and saloon. Pianette by Woffenkoff, New Copper. Terms, 10 guineas a week. Apply Pertwee and Co., 3A Bucklersbury." It had seemed to me like the answer to a prayer. The New Copper did not interest me. What little washing we might want could wait, I thought. But the Pianette by Woffenkoff sounded alluring. I pictured Ethelbertha playing in the evening, something with a chorus, in which perhaps the crew, with a little training, might join, while our moving home bounded greyhound-like over the silvery billows. I took a cab and drove direct to 3A Bucklersbury. Mr. Pertwee was an unpretentious-looking gentleman, who had an unostentatious office on the 3rd floor. He showed me a picture in watercolours of the Rogue, flying before the wind. The deck was at an angle of 95 to the ocean. In the picture, no human beings were represented on the deck. I suppose they had slipped off. Indeed, I do not see how anyone could have kept on unless nailed. I pointed out this disadvantage to the agent, who, however, explained to me that the picture represented the Rogue doubling something or